morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be connected one more time together. The Lord has been so, so good. He's just happy for his grace and mercy. Just say, I'm happy. But could you put in the chat, happy, happy, happy. Just happy for his grace and mercy. I'm thinking about the word, and we got to get through the announcements, but we're going to the garden today, and we're going to look at some trees and Adam and Eve, and I'm just thanking God for Jesus. I just want to welcome all our visitors. If this is your first time, thank you for coming. If this is your second or third, thank you for coming back. And we encourage you to go to our website at evcnc.com and interact with us. We have our app that you can download and get notifications. And also you can learn a lot about what's going on in Ebenezer. I'm telling you, these are eventful times that the Lord is doing amazing things. I just want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got much that's going on. We've got our Monday manna. We've got our Tuesday noonday Bible study, our Wednesday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Luke. And we've added an in-person Bible study on Thursdays, where we're going through the book of 1 John. And that has really been challenging as we really compare that to our lives. And I just thank you. I thank you as the body of Christ for supporting the ministry by your viewership and also by your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Said, let's each one of us purpose in our own heart. And I'm telling you, if he has blessed you, he's blessed me. Oh, it is so good. Remember, giving goes beyond just monetary. Giving is our time. You know, when we go to our jobs, we get paid for our time, whether it's a salary or you get hourly paid. Your time means something. And as I get older, you know, when I have to do stuff, I'm thinking about time. Time is important. And so just to embrace someone, talk to someone, call them on the phone, send them a text, sit down and engage them is important. And so giving has all shapes and forms. But I encourage you, God loves it when we give. And you know what? He comes back and he blesses us with exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Well, I want our hearts to be prepared as we continue to connect with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we go with Adam and Eve. We're going back to the garden and we're going to look at some trees today. See you soon.
Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, and my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Oh, and I love this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Praise God for the word of God. Meditate on that, saints.
Amen. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand has made, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Out there, just put in chat amen wherever you're sitting or standing, say amen. These are challenging times, but I'm so glad for Savior Jesus Christ, and he's given us his Holy Spirit that we can walk through these perilous times, these strange times, and our lives can glorify him. Well, I am just blessed thinking about the scriptures that we're going to deal with. But before we go any further, I just want you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made. And Lord, please help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we just praise you for another time that we can connect on this virtual platform just to peruse your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place as our teacher and our guide, or lead us into all truth. Lord, I pray for those who are looking in that may not know you. I pray today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, Father, that you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let this word be so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Father, we love you. You're amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have finished this series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, it was amazing. A few weeks ago, I was literally doing something else, and the Lord just dropped something on my heart, another series. And I wanted to deal with, he kind of talked to me about renewing our mind and how we learn. So this topic that we're going to go into is renew your mind, and then kind of in the parentheses, how we learn. So important as Christians to recognize how the enemy moves in, how the God uses, and he's given us so many directives within his scriptures. And I'm just thankful that we're able to walk through line upon line, precept upon precept, and actually see how God renews our mind and how our part in this renewal. Now there's a picture, we've got this picture here that you see this brain, it's on a old car, and I'm going to keep this as kind of the picture for this series, and I wanted to explain it, and I wanted to give a shout out to the artist, is Olaf Muge, and I hope I'm saying it properly, but he's an artist, and literally he created this brain to sit on this old car. And when I was thinking about this series, I thought about an old car that you restore. You know, one is all broken down and rusted out, and parts are messed up, but you take it in a garage or wherever you're doing this work, and it takes a long time, but you're renewing. You're bringing in new parts. You're painting. And that brain on the top, it really connected with me. That's what happens with our mind. I didn't put this quote out so that you could see it, but I heard Joyce Meyer say it. I'm not even sure if she was the original one that came up with it, but she said, we've got to change our stinking thinking. And this is the series that we're going to go on into. How do we learn? Renew your mind. And I also, Lord, put a memory scripture, and this should be a familiar one to a lot of us, but if it's not, this is a time that you can get this in your heart, because we'll be here a bit, that you can get Romans 12:2. So Romans 12:2, that's going to be the memory scripture that we'll go over in this series. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we go through that, I want you to be repeating it with me, or reading it with me, until we read it into our hearts. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye, or you, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our focus scripture today, earlier, we're going to the garden. So Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to look at that 11th verse. Genesis 3:11. Let's read it together. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Let's focus in on that a little bit more. Genesis 3:11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? I want to speak from a title today, eating from the wrong tree. Amen. Eating from the wrong tree. And I want to have a subtitle, because we're dealing with that. How do we learn? The subtitle is failure. Yes, there ought to be some ouches out there. We can truly learn by failure, and we'll be looking at that as we go through the scriptures today. Our time frame is early in the creation. God has created everything to perfection. He has animals, water. It's just a beautiful garden that God has created, and then he creates man. And everything is in place. And then he said man should not be alone, and so he creates woman. But in the midst of all of these things, and God gives one prohibition. He gives one directive, and we find that in Genesis 2:15. And I want to put just a drop of nugget, a breadcrumb here. This is actually, when you look at the chronological, he tells this to Adam, not Eve. He tells this to Adam, Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Somebody say freely eat. Put in the chat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I'm talking about eating from the wrong tree. And so God says, hey, have fun. You can do whatever you want to do. Just go all over the garden. I want you to tend to it. Take care of all the things that I placed in it. Just stay away from that one tree. You can have all the other trees, but stay away from that one tree. Everything is wonderful. Adam, Eve, they have dominion over their area. And we picked up Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here's our first point. Has God said? Yes. Has God said? As I think about this picture, and there have been a lot of theologians that have studied just this particular portion of Scripture for years and years and wrote all kinds of books and theses on this particular thing. Some even believe at this time that Satan the serpent was actually upright and walked. There have been others to argue that the animals actually talked. Those that are in biblical history, remember Balaam and the donkey talking, they believe that the voice or speech was given to all the animals. Whatever your focus is, I've got a friend that's challenged. He said, can snakes really talk? Yes, the scriptures bring out that the devil uses this serpent, this snake, to speak to the woman. She doesn't seem to be put aback. It seems like this was a normal way of communication. This is important. He approaches the woman and he brings out, he says, has God indeed said? Now, this is interesting. How often has the enemy wanted to keep us from growing in God with questions of doubt? Yeah, he comes at us and just a little question that's put in our mind, and our curiosity begins to blossom. And before we realize it, we find ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be. I'm talking about eating from the wrong tree. Ed Henson, he writes this. He says, the words form a question which seems designed to cast doubt upon God's goodness, and yet at the same time seems to imply that if the serpent is misinformed, he is willing to be instructed in the matter. Do you really mean to say God has said you are not to eat from all of them? He implants the idea that God is unduly strict in not permitting Adam and Eve to eat from all the trees. Another mark of his subtlety is that he has no desire to arrive at the truth. Any amen? That's what the enemy does. He comes in and he puts doubt. And I'm telling you, you don't have to learn from failure in a sense. You don't even have to fail. But so often in our lives, we find that our failures have blossomed from this. The enemy has come in and just whispered those little seeds of doubt. Jesus actually gives us a summary of the character of Satan in John 8:44. Listen to this. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yes, this serpent, Satan, using the serpent, is really setting up the lie. He's using doubt, all of these things. Man, we're rooting for Adam and Eve, right? That they can stand against the wiles of the devil. But notice Genesis 3:2. I'm talking about eating from the wrong tree. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Genesis 3:4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. I want to read that again, that fourth verse. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Here's the point. Challenging God's word. Yes, challenging God's word. God has specifically spoke to Adam, and it seems that Adam passes this to Eve, or maybe he had another meeting that's not recorded that he actually told Eve and Adam together, or individually, Eve, this is the prohibition. This is the things that you need to understand if we're going to live in this garden in peace. But notice the woman, when questioned, she summarizes what God has said. Many theologians have looked at this, and they said, well, she missed out on some key details. Well, there's a summary of it. We must make sure we grasp the details of God's word. There ought to be some hallelujahs out of there. We got to dig in, and so many times we just want to summarize. We can't afford to pick and choose what we want to believe of God's word. That's what I believe the challenges of this world has come to, and even the United States, people are just picking and choosing what parts of the word they want to believe. Hebrews 4:12 lets us know the power of God's word, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature, somebody just put N-O in the chat as you're sitting there, I say no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. I love this, because as we're looking at this Hebrews, we find out that Adam and Eve, they're naked in this garden. They're in the purest state. It said his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Notice here, Genesis 3:4 again, that second part, it says, you will not surely die. Well, God has said that you will die, but the enemy comes in and slides again this thought pattern. This is the plight of the world, not believing that the word of God is true. Yes, so many people are challenging God's word, but Matthew 24:35 lets us know heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We must never forget, please hear me, never forget that there is a penalty for not following God's word, for not following the Spirit of God, giving us understanding. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Can somebody just scream out death? Put it in the chat, death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm talking about eating from the wrong tree. How do we learn? We're learning with Adam and Eve. Now, sometimes it takes place through failure. Genesis 3:5, look at this. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I love this point. Stay in your lane. Yes. Stay in your lane. I'm telling you, many years ago, God spoke to my heart and said, you got to stay in your lane because there's so much that's going on, and so many times there ought to be some witnesses. We can tend to get in other people's lanes. Tyler Perry said this. He said, God gives everyone a lane and no one can beat you in your lane. There ought to be some AVS. He gives everyone a lane, but no one can beat you in your lane. We need to stay in our lane. But notice what the enemy does. He actually is pulling Adam and Eve into another lane. And the enemy has come to this point, Genesis 3:5, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And then he goes, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Please, this is important. God dropped this on my heart. The enemy wants us to believe his interpretation of God. Wow. Listen to me again. The enemy wants us to believe his interpretation of God, not God's interpretation and clearly telling us who he is. But the enemy is always trying to change who God is. But please understand, we learned from last week's message, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and last. He is God Almighty. Woodrow Crowe captures the scene here. Satan challenges the motives of God. The serpent implies that Eve is confined by her position of trusting God. The word God is best rendered as God in the Hebrew. And this is important. Literally, Satan is trying to elevate them until to be in control, to be in charge. There's only one that's going to be in charge. That's God himself. His point is to oppose the God of goodness. He would make it appear to Adam and Eve that in reality, God is not good. The serpent indicates that the path to knowledge is to bypass God's word. Oh, how we see so many times the world bypassing God's word. We see families bypassing God's word. We see individuals and churches that come together in building bypassing God's word. But I'm telling you, be careful. You may be eating from the wrong tree. People have, Lord, put this on my heart, have bypassed God's word and made up what they want to hear. I want you to get this, please. People have bypassed God's word and made up what they want to hear. Do you see it in our society? Do you see it amongst our community? People are just deciding to do what they want to do, what seems right in their own eyes. There ought to be some biblical scholars can go, you know what? I heard that in the Old Testament, and God had to bring judgment because people were doing what was right in their own eyes. Jesus said it like this in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Are there anybody out there that says, you know what, Pastor, I am seeing this. I'm seeing this blossom in society. Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Can you put that in the chat? Put itching ears. Itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. Never seen a time like this. So many teachers and so many different churches and so many different denominations. And I thank God for his grace and mercy, but so much in different personalities and ideas. But the word of God is supposed to bring us on a level plane. Verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. There ought to be somebody say, yo, pastor, I'm hearing fables. They're being propagated. They're being pushed. And people are rather grabbing fables. They're grabbing lies. They're grabbing what the enemy has said instead of God. We find out here Eve is grasping what Satan is saying instead of what God has already said. Look at Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw what the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. What a sad reality. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Here's a point. Accountability. Yes, accountability. Now, this is an issue, and I've gone through these scriptures so many times, and I know you have too. This first book of Bible, just about everybody's read Genesis, but we got to deal with the elephant in the room. Yeah, the elephant, or maybe I should say the elephant in the garden. Yes, you know who it is, Adam.
The critical thing that we have to deal with, we already have put forth the foundation point that God had spoken this prohibition to Adam. And really, we don't even see him telling Eve not to touch this tree. We're assuming that Adam taught or passed this down. We get that understanding. But through this whole process, Satan is not talking directly to Adam, but he's talking to Eve. Where was Eve's accountability partner? Where's Adam here in the midst of this to help out and assist? We need somebody to fight for us. Could you put in the chat, fight for us, fight for us, fight for us. Wherever you're standing us in, say fight for us. You need somebody on your side. You need real fellowship, that there's some people that are going to get around you and encourage you, because the enemy will come. The enemy is coming. The enemy is trying to sidetrack all of us and get us out of the will of God, get us into the point of not trusting who the Lord is. Hebrews 10:25 tells us about what we need in our life, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are there any saints out there say, I see the day approaching? I need somebody on my side to help me fight. You need someone who can uphold Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I need a saints and holy people, righteous men and women, to come alongside of me. You need somebody to come alongside of you that can tell you when you're wrong, that it can encourage you to walk in the righteousness of God, that can help you in prayer, that can agree and touch and agree with you, that can plead the blood of Jesus with you. We all need that. But Adam and Eve, they fall headlong into sin together. Yes, they did not hold each other accountable. I'm talking about eating from the wrong tree. Literally, 1 John 2:16 really sums up what's going on. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. They chose the devil's lies instead of God's truth. Can I say that again? They chose the devil's lies instead of God's truth, eating from the wrong tree. Look at Genesis 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you say he's coming? He's coming. He's coming. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Here's the point. Hiding from God. Yes, hiding from God. When we don't renew our mind, when we are not quick to learn and be transformed, we will hide from God. I want to say that when we don't renew our mind, we will hide from God. Notice this, Genesis 3:8, that second part. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The one that they should be exhilarated that he's in the garden and connected with them, they are hiding themselves. That's what the enemy does. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And before we know it, instead of running to God, we're running away from God. The Lord loves us so much. I want to say that he loves us so much. He has his arms outstretched to us and wide and say, come on, run to me. But so many, I look at the world, they're running right into the devil's hands, and they're wondering why they're so lonely and so depressed and so brokenhearted. But I'm telling you about a Savior. I want to tell you about the Christ who loves you so much. I want to give you a scripture to back this up as we run to him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, it like this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Any saints out there say, he'll listen to me. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Eating from the wrong tree. Now Adam and Eve have distanced themselves. They're hiding from God. Look at Genesis 3:9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? I like that. I have to preach that sometimes. If you're in the chat, just put, where are you? We all need that question in our lives. Where are we? Where are we? Where is the United States? Where is Greensboro? Where is North Carolina? I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. Notice Genesis 3:10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Here's another point. It connects to that hiding. Afraid of God. Yes, afraid of God. God has created this wonderful garden. He's put everything that they would ever need there. Everything was in perfect. God, it seems to indicate, would walk in the coolness of the day. This is actually a theophany, a kind of a picture, simply because God uses the picture of like a man walking. He would literally walk with them and connect with them. But notice at this point, they're hiding and they have become afraid, literally afraid of him. Proverbs 19:3, a fretting has come in their heart. The foolishness of a man twists his ways, and his heart frets against the Lord. Literally, they've gone from a place of peace and solitude and everything being the way it should be to brokenness and fretting towards God. 2 Timothy 1:7 even takes it to another part with this fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But notice, because they ate from the wrong tree, now they find fear has overtaken them. But now we hear the voice of sinners in the garden, not people who are in the righteousness of God and the love of God. Henson writes it like this: hear the voice of the sinner. He is not straightforward. He's not open and above board. Sin makes man a coward and an invader. It leads him to seek refuge in half-truths, deceit, and evasion, eating from the wrong tree. Let me sum this all up. Please understand that God wants us to learn the right way. He doesn't want us to have to learn from failure or go this way. We need to renew our mind. Genesis 3:11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? He already knew it. God already knew. God knows everything. But notice, this is a conversation. He wants them to process what they've actually done. Genesis 3:12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, be with me. She gave me of the tree and I ate. 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Final point, the blame game. Yes, the blame game. Our society has literally built itself, and you could say it's growing to this point of blaming everyone. And this is the plot of the enemy. We can see that he is stepping up because he knows that his time is being cut short, that it's soon for Christ to come back. And we find out and we see all this blaming that's in the White House, and blaming in our communities, and blaming in the United States, and blaming over the world. We've got people on the other sides of the ocean that are blaming the United States. China doesn't like the United States, and Russia doesn't like the United States, and Ukraine are supposed to be on our side. All these blamings are going back and forth. I'm telling you, things are escalating. People are talking about World War III. They're concerned about when this is going to break out. They're concerned about all of these things in our society, and they're blaming a recession and economic distress on certain people. They're blaming it on the Democrats, blaming it on the Republicans, blaming it on independent, blaming it on global warming, blaming it, all of these things. Please understand, 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Christ is saying, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Please understand, I want to introduce you to a man. His name is Jesus, that's taken the blame for us. Yes, I want you to hear it right. He has taken the blame for us. Yes, he came to pay the price for Adam and Eve's mess up, their failure in the Garden of Eden. Romans 5:18 gives us what he came for. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, the act free gift came came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Yes, Jesus came from heaven to earth, walked among men, did all kinds of miracles, signs and wonders, taught like none other, but yet he was crucified on the cross, and on that cross of Calvary took our sins and bore our griefs and our pains. I'm telling you, because we ate from the wrong tree. But aren't you glad that Jesus on that cross cried out, "It was finished"? He gave up the ghost, dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder. They peeled that lifeless body off the cross. But I'm so glad there's victory for us, because all of us have eaten from the wrong tree. He stays in the grave the first day, the second day, but he gets up on the third day that we could be set free. Let me give you a scripture as we pull it all together. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. 21st verse, for since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There ought to be some shouts of praise. You can put in the chat, hallelujah, amen. I just praise the Lord for getting up with all power, and even now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. He realizes that there's so much temptation to eat from the wrong tree, but he's given us the gift, those who are saved, of his Holy Spirit, that we don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit, but we can thank God for God's power, that we can eat from the right tree. We can walk in God's wisdom and understand that we are the righteousness of God, that we are his beloved ones, and we can run to him in a time of need, eating from the wrong tree. Saints, as we go through this series and we talk about renewing our mind, never forget, you can learn from failure, but let's try not to fail. Jesus has already paid the price. And you say, "Pastor, we're going to fail." And I get that. I get that all of us have sinned and fallen short. I get that. But let that not be an excuse, because Christ has paid the price. He is our righteousness. And he's saying to give all of yourself away to him. As he said, follow him. He has paid the price. Saints, let's renew our mind. God has already said it. He's given us a prescript. He's given us the Word of God that directs us. How many times have we read the Word of God? Maybe we didn't understand it, but we followed it. And later on, we said, "God, you were right. You were right all along." I'm telling you, God is right. He never, ever fails. He never, ever fails. We can trust him. And for those who have failed, all of us, please understand, God is rooting for us. He said, "I want you to be better. I want you to be better. I want you to eat from the right tree, not the wrong tree. I want you to eat of me. Come to me. Take of me. Eat of my flesh and my blood." Remember, Jesus said that it was symbolic. He was talking about, "My body's going to be broken for you. We're going to take communion today." He talked about his blood was going to be shed for us. He said, this is all for you. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. To those who are out there today, and you don't know my Savior, you don't know the one who has delivered us, all you know is the voice of the enemy that's putting doubt and fear and has caused you to hide from God. And I pray today is your day, that you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and the scriptures are clear. You will be saved. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "By grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That you see that correlation? Adam and Eve, he had created them for his good. The enemy came in and just tarnished everything he did. And God said, I got a plan. I'm going to redeem them through my son. And now they're my workmanship. They're going to eat from the right tree. They're going to follow me. And I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, he's taking us back to the garden. Yes, a new heaven and a new earth. And he's coming back soon. For the saints, I want to encourage you to renew your mind. Renew your mind. I don't want you to have to walk in failure. But if you have failed, learn from that failure. Run to the Lord. Don't hide from him. Don't be afraid, but run to him. It says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That verse 10 of that same chapter says, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Please understand, God is true. If there's any lying, it's in us. We are the ones who have made the mistakes. But God stands and says, come to me. Come to me. I love you. We can find forgiveness in him. God's word is not a lie. It is the truth. We are the ones that have messed up. Let's choose him today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your grace and mercy, for the power of your scriptures, Lord. Thank you, God, that even when we messed up, you have been there with a plan of deliverance. Thank you for allowing these scriptures to be in the Bible, Lord, that we can learn from them, that we don't have to make the same mistakes. Lord, we have fallen short, but thank you, God, you have extended your arms of forgiveness and love and freedom. Help us, God, to not eat from the wrong tree. Help us as we walk through our lives as Christians, Lord, that our minds are renewed and we're glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. Walking in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. The Lord has been good to me. He bought me from a mighty long way. He gave me food and shelter. I thank him for his grace. I keep my hand in the master's hand. Never ever go astray. I'm trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the light. That beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? Oh, how the light shine. Trusting in the light, beautiful light, ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. The Lord has blessed my family. He let us see another day. He gave us food and shelter as we go on our way. I thank him cause he clothed and kept me. I thank him cause he gave me strength. I'm grateful just walking in the light. Joy in the light. That beautiful light. Ain't it wonderful? How the light shine. Joy in the light. Beautiful light. How the light shine. The Lord has blessed my family. Well, he let us see another day. He gave us food and shelter as we go on our way. I thank him cause he clothed and kept me. I thank him cause he gave me strength. I'm just grateful walking in the line. There's joy in the light, that beautiful light. Ain't it wonderful? Well, how the light shines. Joy in the light, beautiful light. Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it marvelous? Ain't it beautiful? Ain't it glorious? Well, Jesus is the light. Well, Jesus is the light. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. Ain't it glorious? Ain't it wonderful? Ain't it beautiful? How the light shines.
Hello again, Ebenezer family and friends. We thank you for just hanging out with us to take communion. We know a lot of the saints have been challenged still by COVID and concerns, these surges. We've got other things that are going around, monkeypox and other plagues, polio. We heard about that in New York. But you know what? God is faithful. So wherever you are taking a communion with us today, I want you just to focus in on Jesus. I love 1 Corinthians 11:23, and I want us to read a portion of that today to really get our mind in the attitude of taking communion. I left the backdrop today of the two trees as we have gone through the lesson for today. Which tree will you choose? That we choose the right tree, that we choose all that God has for us and all that he has done for us. Adam and Eve, they messed up. They made a mistake. We all have failed and fallen short. But aren't you glad for what Christ has done for us? So, Bianca, if you could just read a portion of 1 Corinthians 11, 23 as we think about that revelation that Paul gets of that Lord's Supper.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes."
Amen. And that's what it's all about. So I pray that you get your bread, your articles. Maybe you have cups that you've got from the fellowship, or maybe you just got some bread. Just break up some bread and get some juice. We've used water before, some crackers, whatever works, that we can commemorate. We can think about what Christ has done. I want to pray over this bread and juice. If you haven't got your articles, take this time to get those articles that we can take communion together. Father, I thank you today for your presence. Lord, I thank you. Lord, if we have any ought against our brother or sister, something that unforgiveness has sprouted up, Lord, help us right now. Would you convict our hearts and stop us before we even take this? The second part of that chapter talks about that many sleep, Lord, have become sick simply because they've taken this in an unworthy manner. We don't want that. So, Lord, if there's anybody that's in this situation, that they just stop and text and call and say, "Forgive me, forgive me." And, Lord, we thank you for all that your sacrifice, body and blood represents. Lord, bless this bread, bless this juice. We give you praise in Jesus' name. As Jesus goes up into that upper room with the disciples, that last Passover,
In there in the midst, and Passover was a kind of a celebratory time, you know, it was kind of a get together, family, all of those things every year. But this time, the Passover lamb literally is sitting at the table. That is Jesus. Jesus grabs the bread, and the bread at that time would be a loaf, and he breaks it. And he says this, he gets their attention, says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you do this, as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me." Let us all eat together. At that moment, they're chewing on that bread, and they're like, wow, this is heavy. But we find out in the scriptures, they still don't get it, that just a few hours, Jesus is going to be betrayed, brutally beaten, and hung on a cross for our sins. And this really represents, as he grabs the goblet that of wine that would be shared amongst them, he says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shared for you. As often as you drink, let us do it in remembrance of him." Let us drink together. I said this while I was preaching. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As you go through your day, I want you to celebrate. We have been set free by all that Christ did on that cross of Calvary. He died for us, but yet he got up with all power and glory. And I just want you to be thankful for his goodness. Remember, we're going to choose the right tree. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Thank God for Jesus. Until we meet again, you be blessed.